This is Jay Sekulow. Here we go again. Week number two of the impeachment inquiry.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. My dad will be joining us in just a minute. We are going to start out the broadcast kind of getting you ready for what is going to happen this week with the impeachment hearings. Because if you thought last week was time-consuming, remember, that was only a couple of days and three witnesses. This week, we have eight witnesses over 3 days. Two more witnesses, by the way, went behind closed doors. So this is one of the issues, too. So you had two witnesses go behind closed doors, you know, in the basement testimonies, testifying this weekend, Friday and Saturday. And, you know, we don't have transcripts from that. Members of Congress don't have the transcripts from that, even the ones asking the questions to get kind of full scope. So what happens? Well, there's nothing today. And then tomorrow it starts at 9 a.m. Eastern time, again, so very early in the morning, right in the beginning of the morning. And it's Jennifer Williams, who was an aide to Vice President Pence, a bureaucrat, I think sent over from the State Department to advise on Ukraine. And then along with her will be Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman. He is the Director for European Affairs and National Security Council. Remember, he is the one who he was on the call, and so was Jennifer Williams. So these are the first two witnesses who were actually on the phone call. They're both on the younger side. And when it came to Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, he is the one who, of course, came in his full military uniform. So there's a little bit of drama there. Then in the afternoon, you get Ambassador Kurt Volker. This is someone he was not on the call, but has given the interviews again and very directly said there was no issues here. And he was the special envoy to Ukraine. And then on the call later, now this is all just tomorrow, folks. Tim Morrison. They've all testified behind closed doors already. So in one sense, the lawmakers kind of know what they're going to have to testify about. But at the same time, when it comes to Tim Morrison, he's actually Vindman's boss. So that's part of, again, I think his testimony was kind of like, I don't know if it was everything was great, but certainly wasn't like illegal and things like that. And it wasn't, you know, these issues of impeachment. So you've got a couple of these witnesses again. None of these, by the way, some of the three of these were Republican requests. Morrison, Volker for tomorrow, and later in the week, on Wednesday, David Hale. But they were all initially Democrat witnesses. So these were not like, but these were three that Adam Schiff did not initially have on his list. So if we get through Tuesday, you're talking about, if it's anything like before, the entire day of Tuesday would be spent on these hearings. So there'd be a lot to break down Wednesday. But then it starts right away again Wednesday morning with Gordon Sondland, who is the U.S. ambassador to the EU, whose name has gotten tossed around a lot in this. Probably that is the most high-profile witness this week. He was not on the phone call, but is the person that's probably the highest rank. Well, he is the highest ranking person on that is testifying this week, who would have the most interaction with the top officials at the White House. But then there's more on Wednesday afternoon. Lara Cooper, a deputy assistant secretary of defense for Russia, who was not on the call, and David Hale, who was not on the call, who's the undersecretary of state for political affairs. He was asked by Republicans to come back really to talk more about that ambassador and her, why she was recalled from the Ukraine. And then Thursday morning, another witness, Fiona Hill, former National Security Council. She was a Russia specialist. Again, it's going to be a very busy week. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We've got a lot of cases ongoing as well. Planned Parenthood jury verdict came back against our clients. We're going to be appealing that, as we'll talk about that. We've got the ICC preparations. And, of course, we'll take your questions and comments on the impeachment schedule. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, it's a matching challenge month at the ACLJ. Whatever you donate is doubled. ACLJ.org.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at ACLJ.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So as you can see, in that first segment, just getting through how many people are testifying this week and who they are and why they are somewhat relevant at all, this will be the first day tomorrow of people who are actually on the phone call. They're pretty low-level folks. And so it won't be until tomorrow afternoon that one of their bosses testifies. And then really, I think the biggest witness of the week, everyone kind of agrees to, is the current U.S. ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland. That's on Wednesday morning. That's because he's the highest-ranking official who is testifying so far. He's had the most direct contact with White House officials. No one's trying to make say, you know, he's again, he's the ambassador to the EU. Interesting enough, he wasn't actually on that phone call, but he was again, they're making out to be, and I think it will be, probably where the media tries to focus. We want to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. I do think that this week is overwhelming in the sense of just trying to explain. Because these are a bunch of names no one's ever heard. These are not major players in Washington for the most part. Pretty low level, except for Sondland. And even that position is one that most Americans would never really know. I mean, so we're talking about deputies of deputies.
I think that's right.
Two and three level down.
I think here's what you've got. I mean, look, this is week number two. So what does this tell you? This is week number two. So what are they looking at? In week number two, I think what they're going to try to focus on, is trying to create a better narrative than what they're able to sell so far, because so far the narrative has gotten them nothing.
No, that's right. This, I mean, even the people who were trying to go after the president this weekend and the kind of regular Sunday show stuff, even Chuck Todd said it may not have been as bad for the Democrats as Mueller testifying was, but it certainly wasn't like really helpful for Democrats. I mean, and that was their, as I said on Fox News, and that's why I tried to make that point on early Saturday morning, I was on with Ken Starr, is that that was supposed to be their week to get you hooked. That's when they were supposed to get
the hook. They were supposed to hook
you,
right.
All of us too, like conservatives out there, everyday folks who kind of somewhat follow the news, but don't always. And what we've seen is that people tuned out. The media doesn't really want to admit it, but if you look at their coverage and numbers over all the networks that had it, this was no more than a Democrat debate.
I think that
Democrat debate at CNN had five networks covered.
I don't think that the people are focusing on this because this has gotten to now this is like round three of this. And they had it with Mueller, and then that happened, and nothing happened there. Now it's this. And where does it go? And I think the problem for most people trying to follow it is it's incomprehensible what they're trying to do, impeaching a president for a phone conversation, Wes.
Yeah, and it goes back to this whole issue of policy. One of the things that Colonel Vindman said, which I thought was very, very interesting and rather damning, and that was his concern was that the president was violating the accepted norms of foreign policy and national security policy. I'm sorry, the president is the one who sets foreign policy and national security policy. So this is really not about impeachable offenses. It's about disagreements on policy.
You know, Harry, and then there's a policy issue here that's really important, and that is this idea that if you disagree on policy, that all of a sudden you can make that subject to impeachment. It's pretty dangerous.
Absolutely, because, again, what we are doing, specifically in this particular case, is we are criminalizing the president's exercise of his Article II powers. And so I think if you look at the testimony last week carefully, and if you parse it carefully, what do you find? At the bottom of this dispute is simply a policy dispute. Guess what? These deep state actors do not have the right to make policy. Ambassadors serve at the pleasure of the president. And so I think it is clear beyond question that essentially the impeachment hearings that we've witnessed so far are about one thing only, trying to criminalize the president's exercise of his Article II powers and ultimately, the Democrats are attempting to undermine the Constitution.
I think what Jordan said is important for everybody to understand. This idea that the president, you know, was doing foreign policy what they considered in an unorthodox manner. He's the president.
Yeah.
He gets to make the call.
Yeah, this all the style points and issues and, I don't like this policy. I don't like their approach. Doesn't matter. That's only the voters. American voters get to determine that. American voters get to determine if that is something you care about, if you like a style of a president or you don't. That's fair for who you want to vote for. You don't get to impeach people over that. And that's why, and the witnesses agreed last week. Those witnesses all got asked if the president committed crimes or impeached. None of them would say yes.
That's correct.
And if they were asked about crimes, I think Marie Yovanovitch said no. So, I mean, they tried to act like typical bureaucrats
of
Washington, D.C.
Can we have that sound from last week where
typical
she said
DC
that? Because I think that's important.
Typical D.C. bureaucrats, the first two guys were silent, and they said, you know, I'm not really here because I'm here to impeach. You know, and you know, we try to make a big deal about Bill Taylor. That was the weakest, to me. He just took his whole testimony and threw it in a trash can because he either needed to believe what he was saying was an actual impeachable offense or he was just giving us a policy discussion. He then confirmed when he wouldn't answer that and said, I'm not here to impeach the president. Well, then why are you here to tell us about your policy disagreements? We didn't ask about that. The Democrats
are
trying to
fool
Americans into
that. They can just make that. When they get elected president,
those guys never will be.
Yeah, Wes, when they get elected president, they can make those decisions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Until that point, they should not.
Yeah, this is part of that deep state swamp, career civil servants, bureaucrats who feel entitled and they are offended when someone goes against their accepted norms and policies. And that's strictly what it's about. It's not about the president doing anything that's impeachable. It's about bureaucrats objecting to his policies.
You had Ratcliffe say it, and they didn't respond. Let's find that one. And then you had, when it was asked directly of the ambassador, she said no. So I think this tells you a lot. Let's go ahead and take a call because the lines are jamming up
Chris
here.
Called in from Nevada Online, too. Chris, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. And I want to ask you this first, Chris, too, of a question to all of our callers today. Are you going to, cut out time to actually be able to spend time and watch it, Chris? Or are you just kind of getting the replay of it later in the night? I mean, I'm sure you've got things to do during the week. So I'd love to get people's answers on that, too. So we'll go to Chris online, too.
Hey, Chris.
Hi. I'm completely bored by these hearings. And I'll watch Fox News to get some snippets of what happened. But that's the extent of it. But my question is, how come so many people are in on these phone calls? Is that normal? And why can't the president just speak to somebody one-on-one or maybe have the vice president listen?
Well, let me tell you this. First of all, it is normal that they are monitored. But doesn't that also prove the point? This president wasn't doing anything clandestine.
No.
I mean, Harry, this was as wide open as could be. The joke is, when they were him and 25 of his closest allies or associates, I should say, not allies, that's for sure, associates on the phone call.
I think that is correct. So the president, A, was not doing anything surreptitiously or underhandedly. Clearly, the president is unorthodox. I think the American people decided to elect an unorthodox president. That's number one. Number two, it is also clear beyond question that President Trump was stronger in support of the Ukrainian people than his predecessor, President Obama and Biden. So I think there is nothing about the president's approach that undermines the Ukrainian people. But even beyond that, this president has operated with respect to one primary philosophical goal, which is to put America first, put American policy first. Now, many deep state actors in the CIA, in the State Department, and elsewhere in the government, they disagree with the president, but they should simply resign if they so choose and run for president themselves. And unless they have the courage to do that, in my own view, they should keep their mouth shut.
All right, let's go. 1-800-684-3110. I want to play this sound from Nancy Pelosi. I think it says a lot. Okay, so Nancy Pelosi, she didn't do a live interview this weekend. She did a sit-down interview. So this was not like off the cuff and where you try to embarrass or anything like that. This is literally a pre-taped interview on Face the Nation where she was attacking the reporter there for like, I'm not going to respond to Republicans, but take a listen to this. Just listen to it.
You used the term bribery.
Yeah, I was translating from the Latin. That was in the context of e pluribus unum, from any one. And so I said, from any one, quid pro quo, bribery. Yeah, that's what that is.
Mm-hmm. So, but do you expect that to be one of the articles?
I have no idea. There's not even a decision made to impeach the president.
That's really what you want coming from your Democrat Speaker of the House, the tough Nancy Pelosi, supposed to be this tough strategist. When you open your first week, I mean, she's been let. Listen, Nancy Pelosi didn't want to do this. We know it,
and she still doesn't. I think.
And but she got pushed to let first Jerry Nadler try it, and then he made a fool of himself. So she kind of was able to shut that down, right? And Corey Lewandowski was horrendous. She got judiciary got cut out of the process, even though usually they lead impeachments,
right?
So Jerry Nadler, the head of judiciary, good job getting cut out of the impeachment process. And then she got pushed into letting Adam Schiff, who was horrible with Mueller, but has even worse, been worse with this. I think that, you know, she's kind of giving that message to Democrats of, we have no idea where we're going with this. Then why did you open up an impeachment? You at least need to have an idea. The idea should be that you think that there were high crimes and misdemeanors, impeachable offenses, and you need to prove them to the American people. You're going to vote to it. You don't say, I have no idea, if you're really serious about it. This is all politics. It's a sick game. And by the way, that e pluribus unum is the same as quid pro quo. What is she?
What are you even talking about?
Yeah. I mean, they're just making up words.
All right, we're back with more, including your calls in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org.
got a lot to talk about in Washington. We've also got some things to talk about in California. Let me tell you what happened. We had a case where Planned Parenthood sued our client as well as the Center for Medical Progress. We represented one of the former board members of the Center for Medical Progress. They were found liable under the trespass statute. They were found liable under RICO and were found liable for a fraudulent misrepresentation. Are we surprised? No. The verdict against our client was $50,000 in punitive damages. Now, the case next step on this is the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. And that is because significant legal issues developed. Our client never took the stand, was claimed Fifth Amendment privileges, which he had the entitled to because there's a companion, some criminal investigations going on in the state of California on this. And some of the jury instructions that came from that we think are incorrect as a matter of law, both violating Supreme Court law and the law of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. So that's going on. But, Jordan, you look at this, and people need to understand, we've been litigating this case for 4 years. It could be another three.
Yeah,
these cases
right.
go this, a long
this
time.
Was, this was just the jury. The way the jury was instructed was basically that these people are already guilty. So you don't need to even find that part. It's like, how guilty were they? The way the jury instruction read from the judge. So the judge here has got a lot of issues procedurally to appeal also. On the way he had conducted himself. We've been a little bit more quiet about that throughout the case, but now he can be a little bit more open about it. The way he instructed the jury was that everyone is guilty. So right. You're not even going to determine if they were trespassing, which, by the way, you could have no investigative reporters then. You could have no segments. You know, you see on your local TV all the time. Every local TV station in major city, major news market has got their investigative reporter. Are they trespassing every time they go knock on the door and, people open the door and let them talk? I mean, and again, these undercover things that are done by major news networks? No. You know, so again, abortion distortion on display, but multi-year-long legal battles. And why is that? Planned Parenthood does not want the American people seeing these videos about them selling aborted babies' body parts and even doing abortion procedures, which violates the law in a specific way so that they could sell aborted babies' body parts, and they want those videos tied up in court. I mean, that is their goal as well. We've got to fight back. So these are those long-term battles. This comes to a point, too, where I want to remind people the Democrat Attorney General's Association announced today that they would now – this is like an official arm of the Democrat Party – they will no longer endorse a candidate that is not completely pro-abortion.
Right.
So you cannot run as a Democrat, a nominee for Attorney General, and get the support of the national party if you're not completely pro-abortion at the state level.
We also have a major showdown at the Supreme Court that is a part of an email that I've sent out today against the abortion industry. The justices recently agreed to hear a case that would impact hundreds of pro-life laws. It's out of Louisiana. Some states like New York have passed those radical late-term abortion laws. We call them the live birth abortion bills. Other states are fighting to protect life. The abortion industry is not going to allow a single common sense pro-life piece of legislation to be put in place, including whether doctors should have admitting privileges to hospitals. Now the abortion industry has set its sight on this Louisiana law that could save lives. They're trying to have an appellate court decision that found the pro-life law constitutional overturned. So the court, that's what's happening there. It's one of the biggest abortion cases of the current Supreme Court. We've already filed one brief in the case. We're already working on a second. So, again, I just want you to understand that the nature and scope of these cases are requiring a tremendous amount of work. Now, that's going on at the same time. We'll talk about this later in the broadcast, that we're preparing for the International Criminal Court in The Hague involving this issue of jurisdiction over U.S. soldiers. All of this is happening simultaneously. But I look at the abortion industry, and I want to go to Harry on this for a moment. And Harry, Planned Parenthood stands out today, but when he's here, he always says Planned Parenthood's presence is significant in Washington, but they are going, look, they're well-funded, and they're trying to basically create a situation. Jordan mentioned the Democratic Attorney General's office saying that if you're pro-life, you can't be an Attorney General candidate. This is where they're at. This is where they worship at the altar of abortion.
Yes, and they certainly also worship at the altar of partial birth abortion itself. I think the role of Planned Parenthood in the body politic in the United States is to continuously pull the Democratic Party further and further to the left on a wide range of issues. I think it's important to note that the interconnection between Planned Parenthood and a large number of organizations which might be called social justice warriors are very toxic in terms of what's going on in the United States.
Yep.
So it's very, very important for listeners to be prepared to push back and to diminish the role of Planned Parenthood, and certainly to diminish the role of U.S. government and state funding of Planned Parenthood, because they are a very toxic organization that tends to corrupt the body politic in the United States.
I think that's right. And I think that you have a pro-life generation. Young people understand the significance of life. They've seen it firsthand. The medical technology has reached a point. I knew this would happen. My brother-in-law said this decades ago, that the medical technology, the imaging technology, would reach a point where you could not deny that the unborn child, Wes, is a child. So they don't even do that anymore. They just say it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. They can't defend what is indefensible. And so they basically are just going full bore. It doesn't matter. And, you know, the thing I think about, too, you mentioned the generational divide, because the generation coming up now in the parenting age, you know, for the most part are shocked by these kinds of things, as they should be. And more they're against abortion, except in very rare cases. The Democrat Party, the progressive wing, has hijacked the party. They continue to push further and further to the left on issues that really disenfranchises them from the American people, generally speaking, whether it's socialism, Medicare for all, more government control of your life, or abortion on demand. All of these things are steps that, for the most part, are out of step with the average American. Yet they continue to push that way. And in many cases, they will look back, as did Hillary Clinton, and wonder why they lose elections.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Now, it's important to understand as we go into this break. Coming back, we're going to talk more about the impeachment issue. We're going to give you an update on the ICC case. But all of this is important because you need to understand the scope and nature of the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. We also have got two cases of international significance involving not just the ICC matter, which obviously that's before the International Criminal Court. It's just a couple of weeks away. We're in the middle of the preparation for that now. But we've got these two pastors, one in India, one in China, being represented by the ACLJ, trying to get them home. So that's part of what our work is. We've had good success over that over the years, but they're always hard cases. That's going on. We just told you that the Planned Parenthood case, which with verdict was not unexpected, but now it's an appeal. That process will be a long process, could end up in the Supreme Court of the United States. We've got a long road on that one. That work is being done right now. So the good news is that because of your support for the work of the American Center for Law and Justice, we're able to engage on all of these really critical issues. And now is a great time, Jordan, for people to, we're a little past halfway in the month, to really make a difference. November, December, biggest 2 months for the ACLJ.
Yeah, that's right. And it's matching challenge months. That means whatever you donate today, your donation is effectively doubled. So we have a group of donors throughout, and they work on this throughout the year, who come together and say, we will match all of the donations that come through in the month of November. Now, they only donate, and they only match the donations that come through. So you've got to make you have got to be out there and make that initial donation to trigger that match. So if you donate your $30 right now, that's what you're charged. That's what is deducted from your card, $30. But we have a donors ready to match that. So effectively, that's like $60. You know, smaller donations, larger donations. It's a great time, whether you're a regular donor to the ACLJ, whether you're new to the ACLJ, but you want to support our work. You go to ACLJ.org right now. It's very quickly. Donate online, ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be right back. Second half hour coming up. Take your phone calls as well at 1-800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Everybody, welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Big impeachment week, Jordan. Let's go over the impeachment inquiry week, I should say. That's the official term. Let's go over who's testifying. There's a lot of witnesses, and then there's some other. I want to get to this, some work we're doing on the ICC. We got calls coming in, too. We'll get to those. 800-684-3110. In fact, we're going to get to David's call during this segment, but let's go ahead and go through the list of who's testifying.
Yeah, okay. So this is, again, it's a very intense week in the sense of time that you'd have to – time that you would all have to dedicate to actually, I think, not just get snippets of it, because even getting snippets of it, you're talking about getting snippets of four different people's hours-long – testimony. That's just tomorrow. So just tomorrow, you have Jennifer Williams, an aide to Vice President Pence. Now, don't be caught off guard by the way that's described. She is a bureaucrat, not a political appointee. She was on the phone call. So she'll be the first witness testifying on the phone call. But she's testifying alongside the Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, who's a lot of questions about him and his role because he will be on the call. He was on the call. He probably will be in his military, I guess, uniform again. There was some controversy around him. Now, later in the day, his boss is going to testify. His boss actually had a different view of the phone call. Tim Morrison, he was actually on the call. These are, again, so it's like Vindman's boss. And Ambassador Kurt Volker, who was the former U.S. Special Envoy, who said there was no issues here. And so, again, that gets you through day one tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
Try to snippet that into an hour-long news broadcast.
Well, we'll try.
Well, I don't think Adam Schiff's going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
He's very long-winded. So are most of these witnesses so far. I mean, like, you asked him a question, and those guys from the State Department spent, like, 9.5 minutes responding to, a one-sentence question.
Yep.
From the Democrats, even.
But what's interesting, going on, Senator Cornyn said, and Senator Murkowski, and this is what's interesting. John Cornyn said, "I just don't think that a lot of my constituents are paying that much attention to it because they've got lives to lead and other important things to do." Senator Murkowski said basically the same thing. Said their constituents aren't even closely following the impeachment proceedings. She said, "Alaskans are not paying much attention to the House impeachment drama. They're seeing the headlines in their paper and they know that it's underway, but I've been checking in with my staff that are working the phone lines, not just here in D.C., but around the state. I checked the mail traffic coming in, and it's not something that is occupying the waking hours of Alaskans."
Well, let me say, as we came to a close last week, and the stock market closed at a record high number, 28,000. So the stock market closed at over 28,000. That is a pretty good indicator. So if you're seeing the stock market going up or not really fluctuating at all, people don't think that we're heading for an uncertain time in our country, and we're at about as politically divisive as you can get as a country. But even that, it's not like they think there's going to be some big shakeup in the U.S. government, because the markets would be reacting to that if they thought the president was about to be removed from office.
Right,
that would put a shiver down the spine of major investments, and especially the more conservative funds, and you'd start seeing some major moves. Instead, you're seeing major moves. The stock market going through the roof, hitting record numbers in the middle of an impeachment. Adam Schiff should have stopped it right there. I mean, should have been done right there.
Harry, you're a law and economics professor. How significant is that?
Well, I think it's very, very significant, because I think going on what Jordan said with respect to the stock market, that is a clear indicator that individuals who are very worried about the future, they would indeed react to it. It's clear beyond question that they are not. And to the extent that they think that that President Trump will remain in office, they are more inclined to purchase stocks or bonds or other investments.
So, folks, again, we're going to start taking your phone calls. We come back, 1-800-684-3110. You get four witnesses on Tuesday, three on Wednesday, and one more on Thursday. That's so far, too. Adam Schiff could add people. That's just what we know of this week. Then they get into the Thanksgiving recess. Remember, they were having people still behind closed doors this weekend. So we don't have transcripts on those people yet. New people. So, I mean, this whole thing is a sham. It is being run like a sham. We'll be right back. Remember our matching challenge, aclj.org. Double the impact of your support for our work.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at ACLJ.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Sense of what we've got coming up.
We mentioned to you that we've got a case at the International Criminal Court in The Hague. I'm going to be arguing that case during the week of December 4th, 5th, and 6th, just coming up in a couple of weeks, right after Thanksgiving. This is the this is my volume one of what we've been working on regarding this right now. In fact, I'm holding that's from our radio audience. I'm holding up the stack, the bundle, as they call it in Europe. This is a draft of my argument, although still very much in the formative stages. I will tell you also we'll need to be in a print much bigger than that right now, but we'll worry about that as we get close to it. Miles must think I'm young again. I'm not. But this is all in process, and we've got about eight lawyers working on it during the break. I just sent an email to a couple of our colleagues about that to get a sense of where we are. So, again, that's all going on right now. So I just want to let you know that work of the ACLJ and our European Center for Law and Justice affiliates on that case is going on. We've authorized, of course, an appeal in the Planned Parenthood case out of California, not unexpected there. That's going to go to the Supreme Court of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. So there's a lot of moving parts right now that are going on. We're engaged in all of those, and we've got your calls coming into at 800-684-3110. We're talking about the impeachment. We're talking about the ICC. We mentioned the Planned Parenthood cases. There's a lot of activity going on right now.
And there's a Democrat debate this week. So if you haven't got enough Democrats attacking the president, you can tune in on Wednesday night for another Democrat debate. That's after, I guess you'll have seen 7 witnesses testify, and then you can tune in to see the Democrat debate.
Are people turning into the Democrat debate yet?
Maybe they will this week because they have to respond to this stuff. But so far, I mean, we haven't really talked about the new entrants because they've made so little of a splash. Michael Bloomberg is yet another billionaire, which, again, not a great time to be a billionaire running for a Democrat office, especially if you're a former unlike Elizabeth Warren, who was a Republican, and Hillary Clinton, who were Republicans. And I mean, he was literally an elected Republican before he became a Democrat, and then he became independent, then he became a Democrat. So he's made a very small splash, and he's on his apology tour for the stop and frisk laws in New York. Deval Patrick, again, former Massachusetts governor. Yeah, he left a good resume behind. You know what happened with him? A Republican got elected after. And it's a pretty moderate Republican, but still Charlie Baker is a Republican. So these are guys who they're seeing windows. They think that it's because Joe Biden has fallen apart.
Yes.
And that Mayor Pete is too young, so that you can't have him as the only moderate option. And so they're seeing is you need another moderate option. So, yeah, people might. I think the Democrat debate will be more interesting, honestly, and I would not say this to most of them, than a lot of these impeachment hearings. The drama has been between the members of Congress and how I think Adam Schiff has acted like a misogynistic kind of jerk. And you've seen that kind of come across from a lot of these Democrats.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead. We're going to take a phone call. We normally don't do it this early, but we're going to 800-684-3110.
Yeah, we could go to David in Tennessee on line three. David, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, David.
First thing, guys, I really do appreciate what you guys do for us every day.
Thanks.
It's a consistent struggle and fight, but I'm trying to put this in a question. I see this. I see what's going on. And one of my vivid memories, guys, is when you represented those ladies back during the Obama administration for, you know, not being able to use the IRS to strong arm and take them down. Yep. And I remember that smug woman who just took the fifth and nothing ever
happened.
Lois Lerner.
To her. Yeah.
Lois Lerner, thank you. And then I look at General Flynn. I mean, they used the judiciary to take down these people, and he has nothing now left. So now I look at our president. There is nothing there. It's a fishing trip. That's
well,
all
I mean,
doing.
Look, they vacillate, David. Here's the truth. They vacillate between, first it was Russia collusion, then there was no collusion, then it was obstruction, then there's no obstruction, then they try to resurrect that against, they had Bob Mueller testify, well, that didn't get him anything. Then they had Corey Lewandowski testify, and that got him nothing. Now they go to Ukraine. And now Ukraine seems to be kind of crumbling because it's a phone call and he's the president and the new people were listening. So now you're hearing these inklings about, maybe his answer, what was that? His answer was inconsistent with Bob Mueller's, as I've been telling the media. Read the answers to the questions. There's nothing inconsistent.
Well, we know Adam Schiff
read the answers.
Wanted to pivot back to Bob Mueller because, and again, the Ukraine was
Well, why are they pivoting back?
Because Ukraine has failed.
Right.
Well, we saw it. Mueller failed. Obstruction failed with Nadler. Ukraine failed last week. The ratings weren't there. Speaker Pelosi did an interview and said she has no idea if they're going to even impeach. Okay, that's not a good. That means Adam Schiff, you failed. So now he's going to try to save his. Now it's going to maybe go back to Nadler actually, because again, I don't know if Schiff's going to get that. Probably not Schiff. So Schiff's got his. This could be his last week. Now he might try to add more hearings. He might try to drag this on. But if this is a failure this week, he's going to say no.
Yeah. No, I know that.
She's going to say no. I mean, Nancy
Pelosi. Well, she said it was interesting because Nancy Pelosi kind of, Harry, was not going to answer the time frame. She was very vague on the time frame.
I think that's precisely correct. But I also think Nancy Pelosi, who's often confused, was more confused than usual, in part because the Democrats do not have a consistent narrative with respect to Ukraine. So now the Democrats, for instance, are trying to expand the definition of bribery beyond its normal limits. And so, for instance, in an NPR interview, Adam Schiff opined on Mr. Trump's alleged impeachable offenses by saying, well, bribery, first of all, as the founders understood bribery, was not as we understand it in the law today. It's much broader. It's a violation of the public trust. But Adam Schiff is absolutely wrong. And so I think if you go back to the original understanding of bribery, there must indeed be evidence of quid pro quo. There is no evidence of quid pro quo.
They have no evidence.
And so now they're claiming that there's a breach of the public trust.
They have no evidence of an impeachable anything, Harry. Listen, this is their star witness, Maria Yovanovitch. All right, Chris Smith, Stewart. Here's what he said, 35.
Do you have any information regarding the President of the United States accepting any bribes?
No.
Do you have any information regarding any criminal activity that the President of the United States has been involved with at all?
No.
Well, there you go. That's their witnesses. So that's why, let's do this. Let's talk about the Mueller probe.
Yeah, and why, Maria Yovanovitch, did you not tell the Ukrainian ambassador to the U.S. in 2016 to stop his op-eds opposing President Trump's candidacy? Why didn't you do that? She had no answer for that. I mean, no wonder she got removed. She should be fired. You know, what upsets me about all this is that we're still paying these people salaries. I think Adam Schiff is actually showing everybody what Donald Trump was talking about when he said, drain the swamp. Mm. We're seeing the swamp, and Donald Trump's going to get reelected so that we can get rid of those people. And stop paying their stinking salaries. Because the best you can do with these people is like remove them from their position of authority, but they still get to go and lecture at Georgetown. And we pay for them for it.
Your alma mater.
We pay Georgetown for them to lecture.
Your alma mater, go ahead.
That's
Wes.
Where Marie Yovanovitch is now.
Yeah, well, you know, they tried the Mueller thing, Russian collusion. There was no obstruction of justice. You know, the Ukraine thing is falling apart. Here's the bottom line. What there's an elitism in the left wing of the Democratic Party that somehow they know best. And the bottom line is they did not like the fact that the American people voted for Donald Trump. That's really what's in their craw. And so this is an attempt to overturn a fair and free election because they don't like the choice of the American people, which is why I understand David's, the caller's frustration on this, because it's disrespecting the Constitution and the will of the American people. They can't find anything that's impeachable, but they keep looking because they don't like who the American people chose.
I'm going to go, as we get ready to go to the next segment here, I do want to remind you again, we're in the prep stage of the appearance before the International Criminal Court at The Hague. In fact, to our TV audience watching on social media platforms, this is my prep notebook so far that we put together. There's more coming, by the way. But Wes, you brought up an important point with these soldiers that were granted clemency by the president and how it ties into the ICC case.
Yeah, I am so proud of the president as a commander-in-chief and doing what he did. He pardoned Lieutenant Lawrence, who had been convicted of second-degree murder. He also pardoned Major Matthew Goldstein, who was facing a murder charge, and restored the rank of a Navy SEAL, Chief Petty Officer Gallagher. This could not come at a more significant time. All of these service members were accused of war crimes, of criminal activity in Afghanistan. And this case that you're about to argue before the International Criminal Court deals with that very issue, because what we do not want to happen is it's bad enough that at times our own system of justice is flawed, but it's the fairest system in the world. But if we had soldiers who were under the auspices of the International Criminal Court, where people who are not even part of the United States, not part of the United States military, could bring up soldiers on criminal charges, on war crimes charges from places like Afghanistan and Iraq, that would be a real travesty. And these three soldiers and what happened to them, like I said, it could not come at a more significant time as you're about to argue this case, for these soldiers.
This is exactly why you're supportive of the ACLJ. And when you support the ACLJ, you're supporting our work worldwide. This is a worldwide effort.
Yeah, when we come back, we take your phone calls, people on the line. That's what we do, 1-800-684-3110. But let me encourage you folks, support the work of the ACLJ. We have a matching challenge month. That means we've got a group of donors that will match every donation that comes through to the ACLJ this month. But you've got to take that initial action. You got to make the donation for them to take action. So you double the impact of every donation that you make. ACLJ.org. Donate today. Be part of the matching challenge. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be right back taking your calls, questions, and comments on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at ACLJ.org.
All right, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We are going to be at the International Criminal Court at The Hague, and that will be on December 4th, 5th, and 6th, which I believe is a Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I was talking to Will this morning and Logan and Jordan. I think we will be able to go live. Jordan, this is the plan anyways, that we'll be able to go live because with the time differential, the hearing should be complete. So I can give you a kind of a day recap of what was put forward for the next day, at least for a couple of those segments. So you'll get live reports from The Hague, which would be pretty cool, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want people to, encourage on social media to follow our pages there. There's so much going on. I mean, with ACLJ, the ICC, there's so much going on with the impeachment hearings. And obviously we've got our radio broadcast every day. But like this week, I mean, we'll be able to give you the analysis of what's happened. And some live analysis, but there will be more that happens later in that day, and we'll come back. But we've also got social media pages and Twitter and places like Facebook where we're commenting constantly as well and consistently throughout. So, again, make sure you're taking advantage of that and taking part in that. Let's go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. That's what we do in our final segment. We'll start off with Megan in Illinois on line 4. Megan, you've been holding on. We appreciate that. We'll get you a signed copy of my book, The Next Red Wave. You're on the air.
Hi, Megan.
Hi. First, thank you guys so much for everything you do.
Yep.
And what do you guys think about this? So the Democrats obviously know that their impeachment is falling flat. They're already looking for, you know, other angles.
Yep.
And I think they know if they take it to the Senate, it's going to be a disaster for their party. So what about them, like, looking for a way out to save face, trying to censure the president?
I tend to think what's going to happen, I'll let Harry and Wes and Jordan comment to this. I think what's happening now, and I think you saw a little bit of this with Nancy Pelosi's comments this weekend, that now they're saying, well, we're not going to be able to get this done by the end of the year. This may not be able to get done by the end of the year. So what I think they do is they extend out this investigation issue. And then they say, oh, you know what, and then the clock's running very close to election, so they're not going to do it then. And they basically say, we're going to put all this evidence out for the American people to make a decision. Harry?
Well, I think that's correct. I also think the caller does have a valid point that the Dems may shift to focus on censure, in part because the Democrats recognize that the American people are not really with them on this whole impeachment. So that could be a face-saving measure by the Democrats. I think if you look at the statements made by Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi, the one conclusion that I think all Americans can agree on is that both of them are incredibly confused. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about legally. They don't know what they're talking about in terms of the United States Constitution, in part because they are bereft of evidence. Yep. So they may come up with some face-saving measure which may appeal to their left-wing base, but who knows?
Wes?
Yeah, I think that they may indeed go through and impeach the president in the House. Of course, it'll fail in the Senate. But at this point, and we said on this broadcast several times, the whole thing is so disingenuous and so hypocritical. I think Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, the others in the Democrat Party, they realize they don't have a case here. And I think what really they're aiming for is trying to politically damage the president going into the election. As you said, they will drag this out in order to try and defeat him in the election.
You've done the campaign, Jordan. What do you think?
If they could get, if they had the votes to impeach, absolutely. I think you do this week, quickly go through the, draw this up in the House Judiciary Committee, and you do that. But if you're questioned whether you can get to 218 or how much political damage it will cause, like are you giving up your speakership? Nancy Pelosi done because you're going to have 31, you know, you'd have to force all these Democrats in Trump districts to vote to not just to open an inquiry, but actually to impeach. And then, you know, even Saturday Night Live was parrying it, but they hit it hard. Saturday Night Live, was no fan of the president's and his policies, totally ripped apart the Democrats
at the
beginning of the impeachment. And they had the first part of the person playing Mitch McConnell just coming on and saying, acquit it. Acquitted. You know what I mean? Like, at what point do you want him to come in and just do it? So they know if they do it, the ultimate outcome of this is exoneration by the Senate. I will tell you, the American people, you don't have to speak Latin to understand not guilty. And that is what is going to be really key here, is that if they allow it to go to the Senate, and Lisa Murkowski is already telling you that Alaskans don't care, a.k.a. she's not voting to impeach the president, and she's not even going to like really give attention to this, you're going to get that from the U.S. Senate. And so what is the argument from the Democrats? You tried to use partisan politics to impeach a president, and you failed. So that will typically translate to, and I really do believe this politically, if Nancy Pelosi pushes this on people, she's on the way out. And it's probably the only way Republicans take back the House in this next election cycle is if they impeach the president, if the Democrats vote to impeach the president. Now, if they don't, and they do this whole stall it out thing, I think we're talking about something, understand something very different. Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3120. Let's go to Jamie in Oklahoma, line 2. Hey, Jamie, you're on the air.
I've got some breaking news.
All right, breaking news.
So Supreme Court of the United States has just issued an order in the case of Donald J. Trump versus Mazars. That's the House subpoena issue. We filed an application for a stay on Friday. So it was just filed on Friday. Let me read you the order. Upon consideration of this is Donald J. Trump versus Mazars U.S., their USA, their company here. Supreme Court of the United States, case number 94A545. Upon consideration of the application of counsel for the applications for the applicants and the November 18th, 2019 letter received from counsel for respondents, the Committee on Oversight and Reform of the U.S. House of Representatives, it is hereby ordered that the mandate of the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit, case number 19-5142, is hereby stayed pending the receipt of a response due on or before Thursday, November 21st, 2019 at 3 p.m. and further orders of the undersigned or the court. That's signed by John G. Roberts, Chief Justice of the United States. So the Mazars subpoena, the House Oversight subpoena to Mazars has been stayed as we requested for the Supreme Court.
And the Democrat attorney for the House counsel tried to play something this morning by trying to say, oh, Supreme Court, why don't you take an extra 10 days on this?
Yeah.
And so, John, this falls to the Chief Justice because then D.C. Circuit – the House of Representatives.
They want their response.
And immediately they came out with a stay. So
yep.
they didn't fall to this. We'll give you 10 more days. Don't rush, you know. And so the Chief Justice coming out and saying that, I think, again,
well, they've got to respond by Thursday. So yeah. I expect we'll get some action thereafter. But I expect a grant. But you never – I mean, you don't – listen, it's hard to predict these things, but getting the stay is important. And again, we filed that on Friday and got the reaction today. So I know we have people on the phone line. You want to try to take Phyllis? We got less than a minute left.
Yeah, and yeah. I'll answer Phyllis' questions. Law required to look into matters of corruption. I mean, president's supposed to look into matters of corruption, yeah. And I don't think Joe Biden gets a pass, by the way, for running for president. But Donald Trump didn't. They spied on him. He ran for president. They sent FBI agents into his building. They wiretapped people. They FISA warranted people. So he didn't get a pass. Why is Joe Biden? Why does his son, who has no experience in anything, and is just using, as he said in interviews, if I wasn't a Biden... yeah, I probably wouldn't get these jobs. I mean, so yeah, the president certainly has a duty to root out corruption from the government. Democrats don't like it when you look at them because they're really corrupt. They are the real corruption. And that is an issue with them. Now, we got a lot of issues going on, a lot of cases handling, including that case I was just talking about, the stay at the Supreme Court. Drinks falling in the studio as well. 1-800 to support the work of the ACLJ. Go to ACLJ.org. It's a matching challenge, a double the support. We'll be back with live impeachment coverage tomorrow and keep you updated on this breaking news.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.